Hi, everyone. This is John Mandrola from the Heart.org Medscape Cardiology, and I'm at the ESC meeting here in Barcelona, Spain, and I'm delighted to have Professor Martin Landry, who is co-principal investigator of the REVEAL trial. He's also from the University of Oxford. Dr. Landry, thanks for being here.
Well, thanks very much for having me. It's a real pleasure.
Yeah, the REVEAL study is a randomized controlled trial of anacetrapib versus placebo for cardiovascular outcomes. Tell us about the background.
So the background is that we know that patients with cardiovascular disease remain at high risk of cardiovascular events. The background is that we've come a long way over the course of the era of statins over the last 20 years, so that now intensive doses or high doses of statin are widely used. The challenge that we have with anacetrapib, which is a CETP inhibitor, this is a drug that doubles HDL cholesterol. That sounds like it should be a good thing. It lowers LDL cholesterol. That almost certainly sounds like it should be a good thing. But the challenge is whether those lipid effects translate into a clinical benefit.
Right, and you set a pretty high bar for yourself.
Yeah, we set a really challenging bar. I guess we didn't want to be criticized that, oh, you've taken people who've got inadequately controlled lipids, that this isn't relevant to my practice because I control lipids in my patients so well. We didn't want to be challenged that if you just increased the dose of the statin, that you'd have seen the same benefits. So we set the bar at patients who could reach target. All patients received atorvastatin. So then the mean LDL cholesterol at baseline was 61 milligrams per deciliter. Now, if you compare that with other trials, so let's take the Fourier trial. Great trial, great drug, quite expensive. The LDL cholesterol at baseline there was around 90 milligrams per deciliter. So that's 30 milligrams per deciliter higher. If you look at the CANTOS trial, which of course is an anti-inflammatory drug, which was the population there was supposed to be people in whom you'd gone as far as you could go in terms of lowering LDL cholesterol, their LDL cholesterol was 20 milligrams per deciliter higher than we saw in this study. So at baseline, we took patients who were compliant with atorvastatin in intensive doses, who had a mean LDL cholesterol of 61 milligrams per deciliter, and we said, you know what, can we lower the risk of cardiovascular events, specifically coronary events, even further if we add in anacetrapib, despite all that good care.
Right, so secondary prevention trial, very large. Tell us about the methodology.
Yeah, so this is 30,000 patients with prior vascular disease. 90% or so of them had coronary disease. About 37%, something of that sort, had diabetes. It was conducted in Europe. About half the patients were in Europe. 20% of the patients were in North America, okay. And the remaining patients were in China.
And how did it come out?
It came out well. We saw that adding anacetrapib on top of atorvastatin in this well-controlled population reduced the risk of major coronary events by 9%. So major coronary events being death from coronary disease, myocardial infarction, or coronary revascularization combined. And we saw similar reductions in events, both in what one might term as the hard endpoints, so coronary death and MI, as we did in coronary revascularization.
Okay, that's important because sometimes these composite endpoints are driven by softer endpoints.
Yeah, no, we saw real consistency about across each of these coronary components.
And what happened to HDL, what you'd expect?
So the lipid effects are pretty much in line with what one would expect. So we doubled HDL cholesterol from around 40 to around 80. We lowered LDL cholesterol. LDL cholesterol in the context of CETP inhibition turns out it's quite hard to measure. But we lowered LDL cholesterol probably by about 17 or 18%.
Okay.
And we saw that the question was, did those benefits translate into clinical benefit? And the answer, of course, is yes.
And safety is, with this class of drugs, is huge. So what did you find there?
Yeah, so of course, it was the moment we saw a clear result on the primary outcome, the question was all about safety. And of course, way back in the early days when we were designing this study, we knew that right. We not only had to assess efficacy, but it was really important, given the history of CETP inhibitors, in particular torcetrapib, that we were able to assess safety reliably. We, at the end of the study, so at the end of 4 years of follow-up of 30,000 people, all of whom took their treatment, and even by the end of the study, 85% of patients were still taking this treatment, exactly the same rate as in the placebo group. In this study, we saw that there was no adverse effect on mortality, either overall by or by specific causes. There was no adverse effect on cancer. There was no adverse effect on the liver. There was no adverse effect on cognitive function, and so on and so forth. So we did a very wide assessment of safety issues. The only small changes we saw in terms of safety, we saw a 0.7 millimetres of mercury rise in systolic pressure over the course of the 4 years. That's substantially smaller than the seen in, for example, torcetrapib, similar to the other CETP inhibitors. But we saw no excess of hypertension-related clinical events. And we saw a small increase in the number of people who developed stage 3 chronic kidney disease. But again, no evidence of any impact on more severe kidney disease, for example, needing dialysis or developing acute kidney injury.
Okay, so let me ask you, why do you think this anacetrapib is different than the other CETP inhibitors?
Well, we've had four. This is the fourth CETP inhibitor to hit a large clinical trial. Torcetrapib had big off-target effects on blood pressure and increased the risk of cardiovascular mortality. I think that's off target, and there's been a lot of work to assess that. Dalcetrapib was the second one to be studied. It actually doesn't have any effect on LDL cholesterol, and only a pretty modest effect on HDL cholesterol.
Okay.
The biochemical effects of evacetrapib and anacetrapib are, broadly speaking, quite similar. I think at that point there may be clinical trial design issues that might suggest why or explain why the REVEAL trial of anacetrapib turned out so well, and the ACCELERATE trial of evacetrapib had disappointing results.
Okay, now, what about subgroups? Because maybe there are populations of patients that would benefit more.
Yeah, well, of course, if you see an overall result, you're always looking for, is this a treatment particularly effective in some group and particularly ineffective in others? The answer is we looked at 23 pre-specified subgroups, and we saw similar effects across all of those subgroups. So similar benefits regardless of being a bit older or a bit younger, men and women, diabetes or not diabetes, higher HDL cholesterol, lower LDL cholesterol, HDL cholesterol, low LDL cholesterol or very low LDL cholesterol. Across the board, we saw similar proportional reduction. So no evidence of any different effect in some particular subgroup.
Okay, and now I'm going to ask you, I mean, what do you showed a slide about LDL reduction. So what is your feeling about where this relative risk reduction, significant risk reduction came from? Was it the LDL, HDL, or your feeling?
My feeling, because it's impossible to truly disaggregate the different complicated effects that anacetrapib might have, but my feeling is that this is driven by LDL. And my reason for saying that is, if you take what's now a classic plot and you have the effects of statins on the risk of coronary disease against the absolute change in cholesterol levels, so you get a nice linear relationship, and you plot the REVEAL result on that, it's pretty much bang on the line. And it suggests that the doubling of HDL cholesterol, so that's a huge change, which might be expected, based on what we know about HDL cholesterol, to reduce risk by 25, 30% or even more, it's unlikely that that played a major role. Now, on the HDL story, I think what we can take away from this is that HDL is quite a good marker of risk.
Okay.
But HDL as a target is, at least with this drug, seems less appropriate. In other words, I think that the risk reductions we saw with anacetrapib, which were undoubted, were largely driven by taking people's LDL cholesterols from levels that any cardiologist would be proud of, 61 milligrams per deciliter, even further down, and we saw even greater benefit.
Final question. I this is speculation, I know, but I'd like you to just speculate about the role of this drug possibly in statin-intolerant patients, or patients with familial hyperlipidemia that might have higher cholesterol?
Well, great questions. And, of course, we took the toughest example, people with very low cholesterol levels. The groups you've described are people with substantially greater levels of LDL cholesterol. In the case of the statin-intolerant people, patients who can't take a statin. And there, I think, one would anticipate that the benefits may well be even greater than we had seen in this study. And I think the other point to make is if we'd continued this trial for even longer, then you also may have seen greater benefits. Now, I accept that that's speculation. What we see in the trial is a 9% proportional risk reduction in major coronary events. But I think it's reasonable to say what might have happened if we'd taken patients, and we've all got them, and we've all got lots of them, who've got higher levels of LDL cholesterol for one reason or another. And you know, of course, the challenge with, for example, the PCSK9 inhibitors is the huge cost, and that some patients don't like injections. So this is a once-day little white tablet that lowers LDL cholesterol, raises HDL cholesterol, and critically lowers risk on top of a statin.
Well, thank you for this great discussion. It's an honor to have you. Okay.
Thank you.
And that's it from the 2017 European Society of Cardiology Congress.